Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today, we'll discuss the article by Skogestad et al. Titled, Evidence for Heterogeneous Subsarcolemmal Sodium Levels in Rat Ventricular Myocytes. This article was published January 18, 2019. Joining me today are Associate Editor Mario Delmar, Lead Author Jonas Skogestad, and Content Expert Sanda Despa. Let's get started.
Thank you, Kara. I guess a good way to start is to ask Jonas to give us a brief summary of what the paper is about and what are the major highlights of the conclusions of the paper.
Yeah, thank you. So intracellular sodium is a very important regulator of cardiac contractility and it could also be involved in some cardiac arrhythmias. So it's very important to understand how sodium is regulated. And previous evidence might suggest that sodium is differentially regulated in some areas of the cell, in particular this specific area directly beneath the sarcolemmal membrane, so-called sarcolemmal space, subsarcolemmal space. But it's not known whether sodium in this area is evenly distributed or whether it varies between different compartments. So that's what we wanted to study in more detail. So we used the sodium pump, or the NKA, as a sensor for local sodium in the NKA compartment. And then we activated the sodium current for a longer period, and we saw that this led to an increase in the NKA sensed sodium. This increase was larger than we would have expected if sodium freely and rapidly diffused around in the cytosol. And we also saw that sodium diffused very slowly out of this NKA compartment. So then we asked the question, if there's really this subsarcolemmal space, is sodium evenly or unevenly distributed within this space? So we try to investigate this by looking at sodium in the sodium channel compartment and comparing this to the NKA compartment. And we did both patch clamping and mathematical modeling. And we found that the mathematical model that had the best fit with our experimental data was one model predicting our heterogeneous sodium levels. And from a molecular point of view, this might not be that surprising, given that the sodium channel and NKA are assembled in separate domains. But the previous conception has been that subsarcolemmal sodium is one large compartment, but our data suggests that there actually could be many.
What do you think is restricting the free diffusion of sodium from the subsarcolemmal space, and particularly in the vicinity of the sodium-potassium ATPase?
Well, that is, of course, a very, very interesting question, and a question that I really want to being able to answer someday. There are many hypotheses. For instance, there could be T-tubular folds. It could be the tortuosity of the membrane. I think that it also can be high viscosity in the submembrane areas. Could also be negative submembrane charges that somehow buffers these positive ions. There could actually be a lot of things, but that's some of the main proposed ideas, I think.
Sanda, do you have any particular points that you would like to ask Johannes?
I was thinking that we could also discuss a bit what exactly makes the issue of the existence of subsarcolemmal sodium gradients so controversial. In the field, we are talking about this for 20 years or more than that, ever since that concept of fuzzy space with a different regulation of sodium concentration was introduced by Jonathan Lederer. And I don't think we came to a resolution. Jonas's paper had a very nice piece to the puzzle, but by the nature of the problem, I think the controversy will stay there. So I was wanting to ask Jonas, what does he think are the main challenges that prevent us from giving a more unequivocal answer to the question regarding the existence of subsarcolemmal sodium gradients, and maybe go a little bit into why would they be there, what functional role they could have.
At one side, I'm a believer, and by the other hand, I'm a skeptic. Because the main thing is that these restricted domains, in order to exist, a very, very slow diffusion of ions is a prerequisite. And I think that's quite difficult for a lot of people to sort of believe in, that very, very slow ion diffusion. So in order to get this an equivocal answer to this question. I think we actually need a more visual way to answer these questions. But in contrast to calcium, where we have all these very nice methods of measuring calcium in specific areas and imaging to visualize calcium in specific domains, as for sodium, we don't have those kind of tools that enable us to do that. For the biological mechanism of this, I think that if you compare to, for instance, calcium or cyclic AMP for that sake, we see that these are differentially regulated in different compartments of the cell. I think that can be explained by different needs in different parts of the cell, because sodium plays different roles in different parts of the cell. You have sodium involved in pH regulation, but also sodium is involved in the regulation of contractility. It might be that the sodium that is required to perform that task is different in those different compartments.
Thanks. Sandra, would you have another question?
I wanted to continue a bit the discussion on the possible interaction between the sodium pump and sodium channels, which is what the paper we are discussing focuses on. Because there, the evidence might be a bit more conflicting than in the case of functional interaction through local microdomains between the sodium pump and the sodium calcium exchanger. And the reason for that is that sodium pump seems to be distributed or seems to be concentrated in the T-tubules, whereas the sodium channels seem to be dominating in the intercalated disc. So I was wondering if Jonas has any comments on that.
I totally agree with Sander's suggestion there, because we find that when we activate the sodium channel for a very short amount of time, 10 seconds, this sodium that enters through the sodium channels does not affect or influence the MK activity. Whereas when we activate the sodium channel for a prolonged period of time, then we see that sodium in the MKA compartment is affected. And this I believe, is counter-suggestive of the sodium channel and the MKA being located in the same compartment in the very close proximity of each other. But when we find that prolonged sodium channel activation affects the sodium levels in the NK compartment, this could be to diffusion over much longer distances. And this also is in line with the molecular evidence suggesting that it's anchoring G that is the main anchoring protein which assembles the sodium channels, whereas the NKA is mainly assembled by anchoring B proteins. So there are actually different assembling proteins for those two channels on pumps.
But I think it's also worth noting that there is, and our lab has shown that there is a high density of sodium channels at the intercalated disc. Those channels are actually in a complex with N-cadherin. They form what we call the tissue excitability nodes. But there are also sodium channels that for a while has been thought they colocalize at the costamere, scaffolded probably by dystrophin syntrophin complexes. So those sodium channels have not been localized with enough precision to know what would be the partner molecules in the vicinity. But I also want to get your thoughts on whether there may be another intracellular buffer organelle for sodium and calcium, which would be the mitochondria, that you would be sort of working against when you are doing your pacing protocol. Maybe the need for the prolonged protocol is a reflection of the rate of sodium buffering that the mitochondria can do in response to the accumulation of sodium in the subsarcolemmal space. You have any thoughts on that?
I totally agree with those concepts, because I think that the slow sodium diffusion, it cannot just be slow diffusion per se. It has to be some kind of obstacles that sodium needs to get by in order to get around in the cell. And I think definitely that mitochondria could be playing an important part there, because it's constituting a vast area of the cell, of course. But it can also be different locations in the cell with respect to T-tubules compared to the sarcolemmal membrane, and also specific folds or curvatures in the membrane itself that separates those different domains. But of course, we haven't addressed specific sodium channel domains in this paper. But that would also be a very interesting thing to look at, how different sodium channel domains are located with regard to different NKA domains.
Thank you very much to Sanda and to Jonas for joining us. Thank you, Jonas, for sharing your paper with the American Journal of Physiology. It is really a pleasure to read your paper and to elaborate on the interesting thoughts that you postulate there. Sanda, thank you very much for participating in this podcast, and I wish you all a wonderful rest of the week.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this one, visit us online at physiology.org/journal/AJP Heart.